vertigo. The program Copeland and Bates with Time for Three takes place Thursday night with the Philadelphia Orchestra at the Saratoga Performing Arts Center in Saratoga Springs at 7:30. Led by 2022 Musical America Conductor of the Year Teddy Abrams, the program highlights the sounds of American music from past to present, where you can experience iconic works by Aaron Copland and Samuel Barber, and a SPAC premiere by contemporary composer Mason Bates featuring Time for Three. To tell us more, we welcome Grammy and Emmy award-winning violinist Nick Kendall. Nick is a founding member of Time for Three, in addition to an incredible solo concert career. And it's a great pleasure to welcome Nick back to the program. How are you?
I am great and so excited to be talking about this program and to be back. I mean, it's literally, Saratoga Springs is like a second home for Time for Three. I mean, we have such a long, beautiful history with that venue in particular and that community. So it's really a pleasure to be here talking about this show.
Well, it's wonderful to have you. Now, we're recording this as you're yes. getting ready to go. You're currently in Austria. You were just showing me some views of where you are right now. My God, first of all, it's beautiful. But second of all, and then you come to an, I would say, equally beautiful place in Saratoga.
Yes.
But it is... I'm just thinking to myself, well, man, Nick, that's a life. Like, this isn't bad. I know you have to work, and I know it's hard, and I know travel stinks, but this seems like a nice life.
The rewards are when you get to collaborate with, I mean, the people here in Austria, this festival where we just finished a production with Joyce DiDonato, a new production of a new work inspired by Emily Dickinson. It's 26 poems that Kevin Putz put music to. And you get to work with a crew and festival like this here, but then you get to go right from here. We get to go straight back to the States to work with some of the most incredible musicians on concert stages ever, the Philadelphia Orchestra. And of course, our classmate from Curtis, Teddy Abrams, who's also amazing and just, I mean, we're just true friends. And obviously Mason Bates, who's a fellow innovator in our business. And yeah, life is amazing, but when you work hard, you get to play hard. And that I know it's like kind of cliche to say, but I think it really does apply to this moment. We're having a great time, but we're also working really hard.
Oh, sure. You're working very, very hard. I'm curious because this is a SPAC premiere and this is new music and you're involved from the ground floor. What is that like? To do something like that?
There's so many things. I think there's like a level of feeling very profound because you're adding to the tradition and possibly adding repertoire to the future, even though the Time for Three is like this weird, you know, weird band of two violins and double bass. We actually are so grateful to a community and presenter like SPAC, but the community of Saratoga Springs for being part of building this repertoire for us. I mean, they were involved in our concerto that actually won two Grammys. Kevin Putz's concerto that we performed there a couple seasons ago with Philadelphia Orchestra. And SPAC is part of this new commission with Mason Bates. And it's obviously it's adding to the repertoire, but it's also just the honor of being on these stages and part of a heritage that is just so deep and awesome. And I mean, if you would have told us when we were, you know, practicing our scales and back in school that we'd have this life and be working with the people that we work with, we would have straight up laughed at you. I mean, seriously.
So let me ask this question, which is by you described the group as weird. In your official public relations press release, it is called genre bending, but they essentially mean the same thing, I think, but meaning that they're different from what perhaps you would expect and Correct. That is out there and producing music.
Yes, but it's But at the bottom of it, at the center of what Time for Three is, it is about music making. And I mean, I think that we approach the stage in a very serious way, but I'm not saying serious with a frown on our face. Serious in that it's such an opportunity to be creative in our way. And yes, I think one of the things that I love about this band so much, and the even with all the crazy schedule and time changes and all this, the generosity of music making between Renan, Charles, and myself, and with anybody we happen to be collaborating with, there's just this desire to go to the bitter end of how we make music together, and an energy there that I think is transformative. And we also just love playing when there's audiences there. I mean, it's really, we were discussing this actually the other day. When we rehearse, obviously it's very intense, but as soon as one or two other people come into the room, the way we play for each other and anybody who may be listening changes. And that's why we're so excited about this piece written for us by Mason Bates. I mean, he really got us. He's, like I said a few minutes ago, he's another innovator in our industry. He has completely brought to the fore, to the tradition, something unexpected, which has worked. And Mason Bates is one of those creators that people have said, "Oh my God, you must work with Mason Bates." And then on Mason's side, people have said, "You must work with Time for Three." So this has really kind of caught fire. We're playing it a lot of places. We had a great summer of playing it, a few places, and it mixes electronica, which is one of Mason Bates's features, kind of insignias, kind of like how Time for Three is known for using the tool of improvisation, incorporating many, many different styles into what we do on stage. And then, of course, he's a master composer, and he knows the orchestra so well. So the orchestra, the kind of convergence of those three elements, Time for Three, electronica, and the symphony orchestra, it amounts to a really amazing experience. We're really stoked to bring it there.
How would you describe the piece? How would you, as far as, I mean, obviously you just did in a way, but as far as in its musicality of what it's saying.
Well, the whole thing is based on a hymn, a hymnal that he sung as a child with his family. And in thinking about a piece for Time for Three, in talking to us, we were really in search of something that was transformative in the concert space, something that's very experiential. So while you get all of the recognizable performance antics of openness from Time for Three and the way we make music, like in a chamber music, visceral chamber music way with whoever we are, in this case Teddy Abrams, whoever's conducting, or the musicians of the orchestra, the electronica add this kind of outer world spirituality to the whole thing. So it starts off very otherworldly, brings us into this, borrowing the traditional reel, kind of the reel form, dance form, fiddle kind of energy in the second movement, but still with the help of electronica, into a very kind of sonic, explorative, open, grand third and fourth movement. And I'm not going to give too much away, but Time for Three is called to sing the hymn in a gorgeous reorchestration and harmonization done by Mason, ending in this really kind of hardcore, very difficult last movement that has some funk and jazz influences and some major shredding from Time for Three. And then, of course, brings back some of the elements that you hear near the beginning back to end the whole thing. So it's very much an experiential thing. We're actually trying to see what we can work with as far as lighting in the venue, especially at SPAC. Nothing crazy, but as we've been getting to know the piece this summer, it engages us both as performers and listeners as audiences in a very unique way, and it's very transportive. Yeah, we're it's very accessible too. I mean, it's hard. It's hard music to play, but it's very accessible, and people been loving it. People have been loving it.
You say it's experiential, and you also talk about the improvisational improv aspect of what it is that you do as a group. So I assume those two go very well together. In the times that I have seen the group perform, which is quite a few now, what I'm always struck by is the spark, the magic, the joy that the three of you seem to have on stage. It's not like, oh, it's Thursday, we're doing this, and then tomorrow we'll be
right.
in some other place doing
that's
something
not time
else.
For three. No.
And that's a lot. Look, you know, we've all been to those performances. But when the three of you are on stage, it's just like you just uncorked a bottle, maybe in actuality, and there you go. You're just off to the races.
Well, we definitely don't uncork the bottles until we are finished playing. But you know, like I said,
fair.
Like, and I appreciate your question early on. This life has turned into something very unique and special for us. And I think the three of us, Charles, Renan, and myself, and our families and our whole team, we don't take any of this for granted. The kind of places we play, the kind of love that we have been shown both by our colleagues, but also the greater public, this is something we know that is very unique and special. And especially this feeling of being so accepted, even though it's so hard to describe what it is that we do, but we have been so accepted. And so we don't take advantage of that. I mean, every time we get to play, you know, there's a lot of planning that goes into this, a lot of pacing out the week. Like, you know, I'm going to be traveling tomorrow back to the States. And I we have a few days before we are in Saratoga, but we're going to be resting and practicing. And there's a lot of foresight that goes into this because we do want to save it for the stage. We live for this.
Yeah.
We absolutely live for this and our life with our families and our life with our close friends. But this is not something that just kind of, you know, we just kind of pick up and say, oh yeah, let's just turn it on. No, it's, we turn it on when we need to, because we honor the opportunities and we feel very grateful for them.
Let me just ask a smart alecky question, but I am curious, which takes longer, tuning the violin or getting your hair right?
I like it. I like it. I'm going to say, God, you know, I don't know. I think it really, really depends. I'll say this, the more humid it is, like during the summer, it does take more time to put product in my hair than
yeah.
it does tuning.
And it's that, is that a solo thing? You're doing that by yourself, or do you have people to do that?
Oh no, I'm not that vain.
Okay,
I do it on my
all
own,
right,
dude.
You gotta do it on your own. Yeah, and
oh, yeah.
Same with the violin. Well, I'll
yes.
tell you, it is always a treat to speak to you
and
to the group. You're all so inspiring and amazing, and I just love. There's such excitement. There has been from the moment the schedule was released, it's back that you
That's
all
great.
Are coming back. And it all happens on Thursday night. You can find out about Copeland and Bates with Time for Three Thursday night with the Philadelphia Orchestra at SPAC, Saratoga Performing Arts Center, 7:30 p.m., SPAC.org for more information. Nick Kendall, travel safe. Thank you very much for being
Thank
here.
Thank you, brother. It's great to see you.
And, be well.
And see you guys very soon. Bye-bye.
Thank you very much. Take care. Again, Copeland and Bates with Time for Three, Thursday night, 7:30 at the Saratoga Performing Arts Center, SPAC.org. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.
In his bones, but he keeps a smile on his face. Oh, born with a heart that's overgrown, a song that beats its own pace. misunderstood, fought to be good. Hands in his pockets, his head in his hood. Hiding and shy, a mess of a guy. Fighting and trying and dying inside. He cries, joy. Joy. Of a guy, fighting and trying and dying inside. He cries, Joe.